wanted the best, you've got the best podcast. The hottest podcast in the world. The Chris Voss Show, the preeminent podcast with guests so smart you may experience serious brain bleed. The CEOs, authors, thought leaders, visionaries, and motivators. Get ready. Strap yourself in. Keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the vehicle at all times, because you're about to go on a monster education roller coaster with your brain. Now, here's your host, Chris Voss.
Hi, folks. It's Voss here from thechrisvossshow.com. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. For 16 years, we've been bringing you the most brilliant people. None of them are me, of course. The CEOs, the billionaires, the presidential advisors, the astronauts, the people who write all the amazing books, the authors. They share with you their stories, their journeys, and they enlighten your mind and brighten your world. And brighten your world. Is that a word? And brighten your world and make you smarter. And then you won't be as dumb as I am. So that's what we always have on the show. The main thing we ask is there's a little trade-off here. It's very easy. It's free. We ask you to refer the show to your family, friends, and relatives. Go to goodreads.com/ChrisVoss. LinkedIn.com/ChrisVoss. ChrisVoss1 on the TikTok and ChrisVossFacebook.com. As always, we have amazing authors on the show. The gentleman we have on today is Scotty Amos. He's the author of the newest book that came out May 29th, 2023. It's called Where Do We Go From Here? Helping Adoptive Parents Guide Their Children Through Trauma and Into Positive, Safe Relationships. This is an important thing because if you're familiar with children and trauma, of course, obviously they're entering the area of an adoptive parent. There's probably an issue that's taken them away from their permanent parents, and there probably is a continuation they're going to have in life unless it gets addressed. Scotty Amos is passionate about helping parents navigate childhood trauma. After he and his wife adopted two children, they found themselves learning everything they could about helping their children thrive. Everything that felt instinctually right was actually not helpful for children trying to heal from trauma. That sent him on a journey to develop his PSR, that stands for Positive Safe Relationships, approach to parenting. It's also helpful for all parent and children, and especially for those navigating childhood trauma. Welcome to the show, Scotty. How are you?
Thank you, Chris. Very well. I appreciate the invite.
There you go. And thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. We talk about this trauma a lot on the show. I think we're all traumatized from the Chris Voss Show after 16 years. Give us your .coms. Where do you want people to find you on the interwebs?
It's CT Sherpa or childtraumasherpa.com. Mm-hmm. And we have a full bit of blogs, information. We have a counselor in case anybody needs to talk, and available for the book. All proceeds go to a trauma-informed school. So there's no profit taking in any way, shape, or form. This is a passion and a belief that I want to reach out to other parents going through the same process.
There you go. So Scotty, give us a 30,000 overview of the book.
Very quickly, what we learned through our experience with childhood trauma really came from almost having our kids taken away from us in court. Mm-hmm. It was 6 years after we had adopted them from Russia, and we didn't know how to handle them. We didn't know how to handle the behavior, and everything we were taught about parenting ended up making it worse. Mm. It's only then when we were faced with that dilemma, that problem of losing our kids, did we delve deeply into what is trauma. I mean, they didn't even tell us about trauma. Mm-hmm. And we realized that everything, it's almost a paradox. Everything we're ever taught is upside down, and that we need to start with a completely different process and different way of parenting in order to allow our children to heal over time.
There you go. And it's hard to address, probably even more so in a adoptive parent situation, because you know, they can't go resolve whatever those issues are in a psychologist room with their parents or their biological parents. And then you're not really up to speed on, you know, what sort of experience they had. You may have heard something, but, you know, you really don't know maybe sometimes what those kids have gone through. And so, you know, you're kind of flying blind. Is that a good assumption?
That is very true. And one of the big challenges, though, is that as parents, we tend to reach out to professionals, psychologists, who the latest neuroscientist is. And all of a sudden, we're getting three or four different ideas telling us to do three or four different things, and they end up crossing each other out. Nothing happens, and they stay having a problem. I mean, I call this process of re-traumatization. And my book really is about having parents taking control. We're in charge. And we have to choose the specialists, the coaches, the trainers, the schools that will help our children heal the way we have envisioned for.
There you go. And I imagine, you know, children aren't going to talk about their trauma. You know, that one of the challenges that children have is they don't really identify it. Like, you know, when you're a child, you know, a certain age, you don't understand that what maybe sexually was done to you, you don't understand how that's a bad thing or how it maybe affected you. In many cases, I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, the subconscious mind shuts that or blocks it out because you can't handle it that time. It's overwhelming, and so it will block that from the thing. We've had a lot of people on our show that have talked about that, where their minds blocked out their trauma, and, you know, decades later it appears.
It's a great point. And what I like to say or communicate is that trauma is actually a brain injury. It's not a condition. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you can press a button and either have or don't have. Mm-hmm. The brain is actually rewired to work off the lowest level, the brain stem, or the reptilian brain, as they say, which means the child's constantly in fear and flight mode. Yeah. And that's, you know, for you and me, that'd be almost like having a back spasm in your brain constantly for your every day, all day long.
Jumping out of a bush at you and you're like, ah!
Exactly. And then we wonder, because then what we do is we react to our children and their behavior, and then that just further creates more trauma because now they're seeing this fear coming from their parents and their foster parents or their guardians. And so that's why we need to take a completely different look, a paradoxical look in terms of, okay, now what do we really need to do to get them out of the brainstem and to the upper brain or the where they can reason and think and go through the process? It takes a long time.
Wow. And does it take a lot of counseling?
It'll take counseling. Oftentimes it takes medicine. It'll take what I call positive relationships in every part of their life, because a child can, without, parents don't even know it. And I mean, we'll give parents as much grace on this as possible, that we just naturally put them in school. They're getting re-traumatized constantly on the school bus, at lunch, in the playtime. The teachers don't respect it. They all want to do consequences. Consequences don't work with kids with trauma because it's not relationship-based. Oh. All healing will come through relationships. Oh. And until you can build a framework for them that is safe and based on relationships, they won't heal.
There you go. One thing we talk about is there's some people that, I guess, if they're trauma-based and they haven't healed, they'll take those traumas into new interpersonal loving sort of relationships where they're trying to find a partner, and that will cause issues. So when you say the relationship is needed to heal, you're not talking about those type of relationships, right?
No, we're talking about a relationship in terms of a safety. Mm-hmm. Children are looking for as much safety as possible so they can, that they can operate naturally. They want to know, am I safe? Do you love me? Can you help me? If you can answer those three questions, then the child can, with a yes, then you probably are in a situation that they can begin to grow, begin to heal. They will heal on their own. We don't have to press a button. They will heal if we can create an environment.
If they have the safety and security, right?
Yes. So for my kids, I took a special school for them that was strictly for trauma. We picked social organizations specifically with people who understood trauma and could deal with it. Even we happen to go to church, but even our church, there were certain churches that had no time for it and certain churches that do, or temples or whatever institution that the parents might be involved in. Every single one has to be chosen by the parents about what is safe and what is encouraging for that child.
There you go. Now, I imagine there's no way around this. As an adoptive parent, do you have to assume there's some sort of trauma with your child? I mean, number one, they've been taken away from their parents. That's traumatic. Yeah. They don't understand why they're, you know, being shuffled around, put in homes. They don't understand why mommy drinks too much or daddy drinks too much or someone hits. I've had girlfriends when I was in, you know, high school and stuff. I had girlfriends that had issues from their childhood, and they were passed around through adoptive parents, and sometimes the adoptive parents are more dangerous than their own parents. I'm not trying to throw all adoptive parents in the bag, of course, in that one, but there were some that were definitely predatory, and that just seemed to escalate things worse. So do you have to assume that 100% of the time that whatever child is coming to you in an adoption scenario, you're probably going to have to deal with these issues?
I would say yes. You're going to, one, you have to assume, because it's not only neglect, it's the abuse, both physical and sexual. It can be something as simple as, I shouldn't say simple, as devastating as not even having enough food to eat, and the children are going through that process. It could be something as simple as a divorce or any kind of emotional reaction that the children are going to have to a difficult situation in their caregivers' lives, or lack of caregivers. Any of those situations. So in an adoptive situation, again, it was never taught and counseled and what to do. When we did it, and still isn't for the most part when I talk to other parents, but one should assume that almost 100% of the time that there's going to be trauma involved.
There you go. Now, let me ask you about this, because I've seen this in, I think a lot of adoptees have this, and I have no scientific data to back that up. So, psychologists, you're welcome to email me and tell me how stupid I am. But it seems to me from my polling, and I'm a bit of a social scientist poller, but I'm on a voluntary scale. I don't get paid for my opinion. But I noticed that a lot of adoptive children, one of the traumas I think that they deal with is the abandonment issue. Why did mommy and daddy give up on me? And it seems like they reach a certain age where they go try and find that answer. And I think one of the traumas they have is feeling abandoned, feeling rejected, like mommy rejected me.
Or maybe, are they worthy?
Yeah, worthiness. There you go. Like, you know, maybe mommy had an addiction problem or daddy had an addiction problem, but they don't fully understand why they were given up, and they want to square that circle, basically. You know, everybody kind of wants to go home and see if it's still the same or something. I don't know. And so, is there a way to heal that trauma, or is that just a journey they're going to have to take someday?
What I've learned over the years is that there is no, you don't check a box and say, oh, it's done. Mm-hmm. That our kids are going to go through cycles as they age, and as they get into the tweens and then the teens and then the late teens and the 20s, they're going to have other issues, and they're going to have to deal with it all over again. And it comes out in different ways. Sometimes it comes out in why did this happen to me? Am I worthy? Because they're trying to find their way in their life, right? They're trying to understand their identity, mm-hmm. and they're trying to understand, was this a negative or is this a positive? What does this mean about me? And really what adoptive parents, all parents, because really kids are going to, that aren't from adoption, are going to go through the same thinking, the same process anyway, is just be there, be safe, be there for them, answer their questions, and let them go through the process. Some will want to go investigate, some will want to go visit, some won't want to be interested in it all. And as long as they know that whatever choice they make is just part of the process, you know, just what they need to heal.
Now, tell us about your background and upbringing. What got you into this point, motivated you to write the book? Well, I think we had touched a little bit on, you know, the fact that you did adopt two kids. What was your training and background, and what made you want to adopt this full time? And tell us how you were raised.
Actually, everything I learned up until we adopted kids has nothing to do with trauma or adopting kids.
So you went right into the throwing the baby in the bathwater.
Sort of. Threw a baby in the bathwater. My wife's a pediatrician, and she worked for the World Health Organization for a number of years, and we thought this was the right thing to do for our family, and what we really wanted to reach out and do what we thought was good for our, as well as for our faith, and we thought that this happened and everybody would be joyful that we brought two kids into our house, and everybody would be great and wonderful, and the world would be just back on center again. Sure. And we were wrong. That's what
it was. I mean, you could say you were right. It was a nice thing to do, but I mean, maybe the assumption that everything would be perfect was wrong.
Yes,
exactly. I think we do that, but you know, you're trying to do the right thing, and you realize that there's more to it than what it takes. Now, did you have children that were interacting with these children? Did you have children first and then they came in, or just would you just have the two of them?
We did not. This was our second marriages. So this was a new thing for both of us. I did also want to say that with with kids and with parents is bringing them in, into the house. It's an amazing journey for anybody who's considering it and thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about trauma, but there's also just an incredible amount of wonderful, great, funny, hilarious times. You know, I just think back to, you know, the first time we had my kids were 3 and 4 when they came. And that following summer, for example, we had just sitting down and having some corn on the cob. And I remember looking over after with part of dinner, looking over and noticing that, wait a second, where's my daughter's cob? Where'd it go? She didn't know any better. She ate the whole thing.
She ate the cob itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, you're hungry if you're doing that. Good for you.
No one ever told her that cob's not part of the corn. So
that's going to be rough coming out of the other side, but that's another story.
That's right. Like, but those are just fun stories that they have with kids. And in the adoption world, especially international adoption, hunger and need for food is a huge thing. And I'm sure parents out there who have experienced the same thing know that as well. They're constantly looking for food anywhere, anyhow, because they have that concern about where is their next meal coming from.
That's true. Yeah. I know a lot of poor kids. One of the big issues they have is they don't have enough nutrients. I mean, it got so bad that schools finally had to kick in and start making breakfast for these kids. And they were finding that was a big reason they had problems and stuff. So how do you, I'm sure there's lots of stuff in the book, but how do you figure out, like, if you have a kid who's acting up, how do you figure out that there's some trauma in their history in the way they're behaving, as opposed to, you know, they're just doing things, you know, kids do at a certain age, like, right, terrible twos or something?
It's a couple different things. There is something called the ACE scores, and I'm sure your psychologists in the past have talked about it, but it's a series of 10 to 20 questions and how many instances that a child has that marks those. And if it's a certain number, then it's probably more than just a odd acting up type of thing, issue here or there. Mm-hmm. And that's one way. Two is if it doesn't go away, if it gets worse, and if they're, how they're reacting to their caregivers or parents, mm-hmm, that's probably a telltale sign. And knowing some sort of their background, you know, did this happen after a significant incident? You know, in my case, it was adoption, but in other cases, trauma comes from many different situations. So it's annoying. And then trying different things. I mean, the first thing, and I'm sure you know this, is that many schools immediately go right into the autism world. They think a child is acting up, has to have autism. And therefore, they have to go right into the BAA, behavioral therapy methodology of solving it. All those are the exact opposite, even trigger more trauma. So if you see those things, then you begin to say, hey, maybe this isn't the right therapy. Yeah. And you begin to reach out and try to reach out to other people like me who have seen it, observed it, and can give advice. Say, hey, try this, or talk to some other people that have an expertise. Bring in, if you're going to have a counselor, don't bring a counselor who has expertise in behavioral management. Bring in a counselor who has an expertise in trauma, on relationship building. There is where you're going to get. And then you'll begin to see some of the different answers and how they react and things like that.
Sounds like there's various ways you need to be optioned to deal with the various ways of trauma the child may be experiencing.
Yes. And in my case, you know, we were lucky. We got involved in a trauma-based school, mm-hmm, alternative school early on. We happened to have
one. School as a kid? No, I'm just kidding.
A lot of high schools, but and in fact, you know, might even see my label. I got involved in a school called Lakeside, which is here in the Philadelphia area. But they're national, and they're based on Bruce Perry. I don't know if you've had Bruce Perry on as a guest yet, but he's a neuroscientist who just finished a book with Oprah about a year ago. And his whole theory is that it's brain based, it's scientific. And it's all based on relationships, and that the school is based on that, and everything that I teach and I counsel other people are based on the same methodology.
There you go. It is so important you address this early, because I've seen what relationships are like when both people are trauma and they have a trauma, I forget what they call it, trauma bond or trauma relationship. It's like two people, one person's got broken glass, a bag of broken glass in their history, another one's got a box of razor blades, and they're like, hey, let's play together and see if we can resolve our trauma by rebuilding the scenario that our parents had and see if it ends up different in the result. And you're like, no, this half these trying to trying to set up the same scenario and get a different outcome is half the problem that your parents had. So don't create that. Fix the trauma. Do the work. And a lot of people, you know, they don't want to do the work. And it's best to get this taken care of in childhood.
One of the great lines that I stole from Jimmy Johnson, the football coach, and he was talking about football, but it applies to what we're doing, is it's not how many great things you do for your kids. It's how many negative things you can eliminate. It's that creating that environment. They will heal if you can create that environment. And sometimes that environment means we're not going to go see their grandparents this holiday season because they can't deal with it. That we're not going to go do this event or that event. It's tough and it's difficult and it makes you get frustrated, but it's safe because they don't need the constant variation in what's going on in their lives.
There you go. Jimmy Johnson, that explains why Dallas hasn't won shit since. I think we square that up right now. So there you go. Dallas fans are angry at me right now. It's okay, folks. I'm a Raiders fan. We haven't been to the Super Bowl in a long time either. It's okay. We're in the same boat. Probably will be for time to come. So what are some other tips you can give to people, advice on, you know, identifying this and helping the child through trauma? Is there a certain there's someone who uses the word containment, and I don't like the word containment because it sounds like you get put into a cage, but there's a certain aspect of creating what we call frame or containment that provides safety and security that someone who's gone through trauma or someone who's insecure can feel secure around you because you provide that environment for them of safety and security, and thereby they're not constantly in that fight or flight mode. Tell us about that, I guess, if you'd like.
And that's what a lot of the theory that I see, my theory is much more applicable as opposed to theoretical, like do this. I go through a step-by-step process that I recommend parents do when they can, as they can, because they can't do everything, and we have to do whatever is possible within our lives and the whole bit. But some of the various things, like a lot of what I talk about is on the parents as opposed to the child. If you're able to set up the situation, the child will develop, will heal. Wow. So I use lines like, you want to have authority, not authoritarianism. Authority is asked for, right? Is given by the child because they trust you and they connect with you. Authoritarianism is very much about power and you will do what I say I'm the parent. It's a huge difference. It's a different way of thinking, a different way of acting. There's that when the kids do act up, we have this tendency to want to give penalties, we want to give timeouts, it's the exact opposite. Instead of penalties and timeouts, have time-ins and have, instead of disciplines and yelling and penalties, have things like, okay, we're going to do this together and we're going to process this and do the whole process. I mean, I think a lot of people in the trauma world know the three R's, which is the regulation, relationship, reason. Mm-hmm. But when a child is acting up, the first thing to do is not react to the reaction. First thing to do is get him to regulate and then work on that relationship. And then only after that relationship is, then can you deal on the reason? What did you do wrong? How can we do that differently? How can we perform better next time when we have the same situation come up? And it's a pattern over and over. And over time, the kids will grow and will adapt to it and learn how to, okay, I don't need to overreact. I don't need to throw my little fire truck at my mom or yell or scream or things like that.
Yeah. I get trauma being in a restaurant sometimes when kids are there on planes. So I need some help for that. Somebody write a book about how to recover from that trauma. Anyway, I like kids as long as they're not mine. And that's that. But so let me ask you this. If I know there's some times where either the mother or father has recovered from whatever they were going through, maybe it was addiction, maybe it was prison, maybe it was, you know, whatever their tragedy was. And it's interesting how trauma begets trauma, begets trauma, begets trauma.
From generational trauma, they call it.
Generational trauma, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I imagine there's a certain percentage of cases where the originating biological parent gets fixed, or, you know, at least is working on getting fixed. Right. Have you ever seen a case where, you know, one of the things you do as adoptive parent is you try and get that reseal that circle, not necessarily giving the kid back, but basically try and see if you can counsel the healing of the trauma that maybe have come from that biological parent with the child in counseling and see if there's a way to resolve that. I don't know.
It's interesting that you say that you know, a lot of parents who have trauma don't even realize they have trauma. They just think it's their natural order of things. And then they pass it on to the next generation, and the next generation, as you said. And then the question is, how do you break that cycle?
Yeah.
Right? And that's where organizations like, I'm not making any money whatsoever, but the organization I'm with, Lakeside, I'm on the board of directors. They have a training process. Parents can log in and learn about, hey, what are we doing right and wrong? What do we need to do to heal? Who do I need to see to heal? You know, who can help me through this process? Yeah. It's a lot harder as an adult than as a child, because the child's brain is constantly growing and rewiring, and we can do it over time. A parent, adult has to be a little bit more cautious and really think about what they're doing every moment. And is this, am I reacting to this off of past times, or am I thinking this one through? Am I to be more deliberate and process in what I'm saying and doing to my children and to everybody around me? I mean, trauma doesn't go away.
Yeah.
and it can be re-traumatized by somebody saying the wrong thing at the wrong time or the wrong event. And you just never know. And it's not going away, but it can be better. We can do a lot better with our kids. And then eventually it'll work its way through the adults. That's my feeling of it. My specialty is on childhood trauma, because I think that's where it can be stopped. That's where it can be healed.
And we need more good parents in this world. So maybe a question someone is asking in the audience is, at least in my brain they are, is in your experience and seeing what you've seen from other parents, is it worth it to go down this journey? Is it worth it to adopt kids and, you know, have to go through this? There's a lot of work here involved, really. When it comes
out. Yes. And people can say that whether their kids are their star athlete and academic or have issues with trauma, it is worth it, because there's such joy in watching children grow and watching children improve their lives and seeing what they have came from and where they're going and what a positive impact they can make on our society. It's just an exciting, amazing thing sometimes to be part of that process. And really, and I'm sure if you talk to other adoptive parents, they'll all say the same thing. We get more out of it than we give. You know, we might say, hey, this is hard, this is difficult, this is process, is this. But what we get back, the love and the joy, is tremendous. And
there you go.
It's very much worth it.
Yeah, I know the getting back is a big thing. When I put my kids up for adoption, I got some pretty good money for them and bought me in a really nice BMW. And that giving back part is great.
That's right. And then put that on NVIDIA, and then you're off the road.
There you go. I sold them a Chinese organ harvester. But no, folks, I'm just kidding. I sent them to military school, and they'll be out when they're 18, and I'll see them then. They get to send me a call and a postcard once a year. But I love them. I love whatever their names are. There you go. But yeah, it's always good. Now, when they're two or three, just ship them off to military school. Tell them to call you from West Point later. And, you know, it's a great leadership program, the military. And it makes great people. At least we've had them on the show. And and then you don't have to deal with all this work that's involved with, you know, reading books and parenting and stuff. They come to you when they're 18. And, you know, hopefully you've moved and faked your death by then so they can't find you. That's what we're up to on our end. So there you go.
One other piece, little nugget to this that I work with this is, which is a line that we use is, the value of your love is not dependent on your child's responses. So you have to think about that. Too often we're conditional on our love. I love you, but I want you to do this. And if you don't do this, I'm going to penalize you. But the value is that we get is not from their responses. The value is, it has to be elsewhere. And especially as adoptive parents, we're looking at maybe a greater calling, and that we're not doing it to get the short-term return, so to speak. It's not a product. It's not a book.
Yeah. Because they're probably challenged on returning love or just even feeling like safely they can.
Yes.
Or identifying what they are because they're stuck in that fear or flight mode, fight or flight mode.
And as you said earlier about the worthiness, who is this person loving me? I'm not worthy of this. Yeah. What can this be? Why am I doing what? You know, and only through that process can you get the attachment. Through the attachment, you get the authority. And through that authority, you can then learn and teach and let them grow.
Yeah. I would imagine that there's something you said that I had an idea on, and I think it tripped out of the old brain. But basically, I don't know, it really is just about security with these kids. So final thoughts as we go out, tell people where they can order the book. And then what, actually, before we round out, tell me about your website. What services do you offer there? I noticed there's some counseling, some path of healing. What do you do there as the Child Trauma Sherpa?
Sherpa. Thank you. Yeah, Child Trauma Sherpa or CT Sherpa, whichever, depending on how well someone spells. Our site provides a few information, a number of blogs with a lot of background and information on trauma and people to read. It has direct links to the school that I'm with, Lakeside, that is specifically built around information on trauma and training. If you're part of an organization or part of an association or a school, they have special programs that they're teaching now people from all throughout the United States, even places in Australia and in Europe that we're training. And then we have a counseling process, free call on the first session, just to chat and talk to a counselor we have who's specialized in trauma and can just begin the process if it's something you need to talk about and have a conversation with. And of course, you can get the book.
Order of the book, wherever fine books are sold. There's also a free guide on how to empower your child's education journey. You can sign up for there on your website. So this is great resources for parents. You know, we've had so many discussions about parenting trauma and children and stuff on the show, but no one's ever brought this angle. And it sounds like you've tapped into something that's much needed that hasn't been covered much. You know, the adoptive parent going through this stuff, which, you know, I mean, it's hard enough as it is. I imagine being an adoptive parent because, you know, it's a whole different bond. That's why I haven't told any of my kids that they've been adopted.
That's right.
No, I'm just kidding. So there you go. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Give us the .coms one more time as we go out, Scotty.
Thank you, Chris. It's Child Trauma Sherpa or ctsherpa.com. And we look forward to responding and connecting and building a group where everybody can help each other.
There you go. Folks, order up the book wherever fine books are sold. You can find it on Amazon. Where do we go from here? Helping adoptive parents guide their children through trauma into positive, safe relationships. Came out May 29th, 2023. And I'll put a little PSA here. And you've probably heard from me before as my audience. Please, if you have trauma, get help right away. Call a 1-800 number for a psychiatrist, but please work with professionals. Don't hire amateurs. Don't hire people who aren't licensed. Don't buy crystals. Go deal with the professional license thing. Don't do your own work. You can't heal your own trauma. You need some help, professional license help. So please do it, because I guarantee you, if you don't fix it and don't do the work, you're going to carry that through life. It's going to affect your relationships. It's going to affect your job. It's going to affect your income. It's going to affect all of your life. And you really don't want to get to be 50 years old and look back and go, maybe I should fix that now that I've made this, you know, this burning mess behind me of wreckage. So don't be like me, basically. Anyway, guys, go to goodreads.com for Chess Chris Voss, LinkedIn.com for Chess Chris Voss, Chris Voss 1 on the TikTok and all those crazy places on the internet. Thanks for tuning in. Be good to each other. Stay safe. And we'll see you next time. There.